very happy to be a part of this night. Lots of really good writers in this town. I'm glad that I'm considered one of them, and I'm nervous as hell for some reason. It's been a while for me, this nervous. I don't know why. Holding my hands. It was Pio's funeral, my dad's old man, the guy who knocked up my grandmother, all of 15. He was already shot twice and married once and would be three more times until he died snoring on a couch on a wooded road out in Pennsylvania off a bend that is so hard to see it makes people forget the day of the week. I was six. At the wake, the men fired up a huge potbelly stove out back and spent the day drinking and burning Pio's papers and shit. Flames shot out at a round metal chimney still attached, and it roared like a jet engine after a poor goose got sucked right up there after an unknown blood relation found a big chunk of yellow polyurethane padding and shoved it in. I was chased inside. In the crowded kitchen, I spotted my mother at the stove, minding a pot, ran over and cracked both ass cheeks, loud and hard, yelling, "Ma!" overcome with joy, hot with foam fire and fumes of love, and I flushed 20 shades of red as fast as a cuttlefish in a laboratory tank facing a pulsing red light when the lady who turned wasn't my mother, but was as curvy and beautiful as my mother, and I could still feel the pop of the denim under the slap, a hole in my hand I still have, as clear as the holes in the middle of the hands of certain Christians and alcoholics and nurses and helicopter pilots and bus drivers and anyone else who have felt the glorious bottom drop. My mother was in the next room, and I ran to her instantly. I smoldered in her arms as all the women laughed like topless Africans, high on chocolate cookies and peach, peppermint, and cinnamon schnapps. Beer, cherry wine, scotch from a brown bottle, its crumbling paper seal. Tears now in my eyes from all those years burned. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay, thank you. Wine and spirits, and don't you love spirits? Don't you love wine and spirits, but especially spirits? I know I do, and everyone I know does, and all those who don't are suspicious. I swear there's a man at the North Braddock Wine and Spirits, 10 footballs tall, and you know how we're all trying to avoid eye contact now that we have telekinesis, but it's all bullshit. Believe me, it's a stick-up. My man Mark knows. I'm trying to breathe and let everyone in, but I don't want everyone in. The clerk at the liquor store, he has eagle eyes. Months ago, my terrible towel scarf. He's been at every game from 1963 to 1980. I turned slack-jaw slug as he peeled off all those great names. Not the easy ones like Lambert or Franco, Bobby Lane, John Henry Johnson, Ernie Nevers, Johnny Blood. Today it's my wallet made of paper, printed with musical notes, and he asks, "Am I a musician?" And I say, for the first time, "Yes." And he says, "Well, I could tell by your wallet." "It's Benny Goodman," I say. "I used to sing," he says. "Play the trumpet too." "Me too," I say. "These last about 6 months. My wife bought it for me. She teaches music. And I have my Spanish wine for my wife, who sometimes needs wine. A bottle of Rotgut for me and my friends. And I pay and take the bottles. But he takes them back and grabs a paper bag. "Do you need plastic?" he says. And I say, "No." And he says, "Good. You have to save the universe." Thanks. It's not funny. Cousin Pete got drunk for the 90 millionth time, and he took too much of one pill and maybe too much of something else, and the terrible regulars at that North Braddock bar said he wasn't making any sense. His sweatshirt was on backwards, fly open, and he got ran out for trying to scare up a few bills for another dose of who knows what, and I don't know which is worse, him being a patterass or a terrible bum, a bother of people, and he forgot his keys, climbed to his neighbor's second-story porch, and jumped for his own porch. And you know those old iron railings that bleed in the concrete and flake and chip like teeth? Well, he missed and got his arm stuck down in a curve that's supposed to look like a flower and hung there until he died. It was on the news. KDKA. Okay. I'm gonna read one more. It's a long one. Little Beers. My old man was a bully. No, I mean he was such a real bully, he still haunts the dreams of some of his fellow classmates, and he graduated in 1966. This means he still exists. Are you listening? I had this old motorcycle that was broken down in Oakland. I still owe Bobby $300 for it, after I sold it to him and then simply took it later on down the line. And we drove to East McKeesport to grab some screwdrivers and wrenches and a carburetor cleaning kit, which is a can filled with some mean shit in a metal basket. No one was home, but on the picnic table out on the back porch was a flutter of pages held down by a glass ashtray and 500 Winston nubs. It was a handwritten letter to my old man from a guy in Denver, Colorado. It was a confession of some sort. My old man once looked me over. I was 9 or 10, and after I asked him if he ever killed anyone in Vietnam, and he told me they used to watch the FNGs roll into camp and jump off the trucks and scramble to formation, and they'd pick which ones would live and which ones had no chance. He told me I wouldn't have made it, and literally sneered, and I guess it did what it was supposed to do, but I doubt he was that good, because it gave me sick access to a meanness I often regret. This was 1999 or so. The man from Denver needed to tell him that despite the taunts and the beatdowns and the expert psychological warfare during the total nightmare that was this guy's high school experience at Westinghouse High School in Wilmerding, Pennsylvania, he has led a happy life with a good wife who gave him a few smart and beautiful children, a career, and more money than my old man could ever hope for. And it must have stung. Something tells me the dude read the obituary I wrote not that long after, at least in terms of the years of dogs or the half-life of bitterness. Maybe he read it more than once. Maybe he printed it up and keeps it somewhere, or maybe just in his gray matter. And I have no idea if one day the man from Denver opened up an envelope with the letter my dad had nearly finished, his ham-fisted retort, filled with lines like, "If this country is full of faggots like you, they'd be speaking German in Detroit," and all kinds of other terrible victim blaming. But I'm sure it would have pleased him if it was ever mailed. It would have given him another shred of evidence of the triumph of his own struggle and the failure of his Neanderthal tormentors. Dead by 60. Dream, 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 dream. Dream, dream, dream. We got the same name, and I wonder if he's watching. Because everyone's watching, right? These are the days of the Master Snoop. I'm certain this guy's mind is haunted. I get it. He haunts all of mine. And I had it better. He never beat us. And he never loved you. Existence is so fucked. What can I say, buddy? There are many degrees of difficulty. You made it. You win. Now go fuck your wife. She could probably use at least one or two really good ones before the great monster gobbles her up and sends her into the gullet that is your burning stomach, lit by a ghost whose fingers and eyes have gone yellow and numb. I am sorry. No, I am not sorry. Thank you.